With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Edmonton's home for breaking news on your favorite teams. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 CHED.
Okay, game one of the NBA Finals. It is the first minute of the second quarter. The Nuggets leading the Heat 29-20. They are doing a ceremonial face-off at the Memorial Cup in Kamloops with the Blazers set to take on the Peets in the tiebreaker game. The winner faces Seattle tomorrow in the semifinal. The winner of that faces Quebec on Sunday in the championship game. They're bringing out some alum here. Who do we have? I think I saw Shane Doan, Mark Recchi, somebody else there, Kellen. I can't spot who it was. Anyway, I can't tell.
Yeah, I missed that. Sorry.
That's okay. 780-496-0063. People want to get in touch. The Elks will have a scrimmage tomorrow. Their preseason is over. Of course, the rest of the CFL finishing up here in the next couple of days. Elks against the Rough Riders Sunday, June 11th at Commonwealth Stadium, 3:30 for the countdown to kickoff, and the game will start at 5. The Blue Jays won earlier today, 3-1 over Milwaukee. So we have been talking about a bunch of different fun stuff. A good chat with Luke Gazdick, by the way. Interesting behind-the-scenes stories about some of his teammates dealing with perhaps sometimes an over-adoring public when they're out and about in the city. That's the price of being a pro hockey player in Canada. And Luke, like me, thinks that the Florida Panthers will win the series. Kellen, as you know, I've been riding the Panther. I picked them over Boston in 7. I actually got the number of games right in that one. Picked them over the Leafs in 7. They didn't need that many. Picked them over the Hurricanes in 7. They didn't need anywhere near that many. I'm picking them in 7 again over the Golden Knights. I was a little surprised. On Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, somehow I am in the lead of all the people picking. So I can't, I think Bob could tie me for first if Vegas wins.
Ah, okay.
So I only went 3-8. I only went 3 out of 8 in the first round. I went 3-5. Since then, I've gone 5-1. So I'm peaking at the right time.
Yes.
But
absolutely.
I was, so it was Mooner. What's that guy's name? Jack Michaels? Is that the guy?
Yeah, the
that other guy,
the play-by-play guy,
and then Bob Stauffer. I don't think Escott even made a pick because he missed the first round. So I was the only guy that took the Panthers. I'm the only guy from our CHED group here riding the Panther. I just think I know they've had a long break. I know Vegas is excellent. Well, guess what? Florida's excellent too, and they're playing great at the right time. They got Bobrovsky, who I do think will outlast Aiden Hill. And hey, Aiden Hill has exceeded what I thought he'd be able to do, but I do think he's going to outlast Aiden Hill. I realize Vegas is deep. I realize Vegas can play physical and mean and maybe even a little dirty. Like, I heard Vegas has a guy, he'll slash one of your best players and even take a suspension if it comes to that. So Vegas has those types of guys. But I think Florida has those types of guys. I know Bob referenced earlier today, and I didn't get a chance to offer a rebuttal. Bob referenced earlier today, you know, Matthew Tkachuk kind of got maybe a little intimidated by Evander Kane in last year's series and when they played the Oilers. And I'm like, well, I don't know. That's last year. That Calgary team, I think, I don't know. Maybe they just weren't as interested in the series as it went along as Edmonton was. I think that's ancient history. I think Matthew Tkachuk's going to be fine. I think he's probably going to be the best skater in the series. I think Bobrovsky is going to be the best goalie in the series. And nothing against what Vegas brings, because they're pretty deep on defense. I mean, Montour has looked outstanding. You know, Gudas does his thing out there. So I like what the Panthers are doing. So I'm gonna keep riding the Panther and pick them in the Stanley Cup final. Is this actually our next guest? This guy's awesome.
Is.
This guy's awesome. From the Penguins Radio Network, it's our buddy Phil Bork checking in. Phil, how's life?
Well, Reed, life is grand. Life is grand. Life is good. Didn't expect to have such a long off season. This is not something that that we've become accustomed to, like some other teams in the league, where we did not make the postseason for the first time in 17 years. So it's humbling, but the silver lining is I get to spend some extra time with my family.
Yes, and I know you love your family, and you've told us some stories about them as life has gone on as well. So thanks for making time for week. Dave and I were like, you know, Phil's in his off season. Should we ask him to come on the show? And we were like, well, let's just ask him because we love having him on. So thanks for doing this. I just checked back. I believe, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, the Penguins only won 6 of their last 16 games because they kind of controlled their own destiny with the playoffs. And they didn't do a very good job controlling it, did they?
No, they didn't. And you look at some of those losses. No disrespect to those teams, but they were clearly out of the playoffs. They had nothing to play for at all, except pride and future jobs. And they bent the Penguins over, if you know what I mean. Took them back to the old woodshed, however you want to word it. Because there were some of those games that the Penguins, it wasn't like they, you know, they lost a close game. They were losing 5-2, 6-3, just ridiculous scores. You know, the one thing I'll tell you, though, being in this organization, 10 years a player, and now this will be my 20th year coming up as a broadcaster, pretty much my half of my life, there has been a bit of a pattern here in Pittsburgh that whenever something, whatever you want to call it, bad, humbling, it sticks with you for a while. Within the next year or 2 years, something really good has happened. I'm not saying the Penguins are going to win the Cup next year. But, you know, changes need to happen. When you've gone through what the Penguins have gone through, and especially this year, I mean, that number that you just gave there, that's ridiculous. That is such a kick in the groin with a steel-toed boot that with this kind of lineup, it was basically pretty healthy. Now, some guys were dinged up, but healthy enough to at least get into the playoffs, get into the dance and make something happen. But you know what they're saying here in Pittsburgh? They're saying maybe this is a blessing in disguise. Maybe this is what they needed because things have been kind of a bit of a downward spiral, if you will. We've won one playoff series since winning those back-to-back Stanley Cups. And maybe you needed to miss the playoffs to have those hard questions answered and big changes made.
Okay, and so one of the they made some changes earlier in the season because they got rid of Hextall and Burke. Dubas is in. It was interesting when Hextall was hired because our buddy Rob Brown was like, I can't believe the guy that wanted to beat us all up when he played for the Flyers is now the GM. So
I know.
Like, how much of this was on the on Hextall or management the last couple of years?
Well, a lot of it. I mean, they're not the guys out there shooting the puck and passing the puck and, you know, defensive zone coverage and all that stuff. But, you know, listen, I'm not going to – the body's not even cold yet. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? At times they seemed overwhelmed by the challenge that was here. But that's what it is here in Pittsburgh. It's a challenge. I mean, you're up against the cap. I get that. But you can't use that as an excuse. I mean, we didn't have a cap in 1991-92 season when Craig Patrick traded two future Hall of Famers and Mark Recchi and Paul Coffey on the same flipping day to get Rick Tocchet because that's what we needed. I mean, there was no salary cap, but he had kind of an internal salary cap because we weren't like Detroit and New York. We couldn't just free spend. And I found that Ron Hextall and Brian Burke, as soon as they came in here, they said, oh, well, we're effed. You know, I mean, Jimmy Rutherford has effed us. I mean, we're up against the cap. There's nothing we can do. And they kind of threw their hands up in the air. That's what I felt. If I'm wrong, somebody tell me I'm wrong, and I will accept that. But I just felt like changes needed to be made. And by the time those changes came, when at the very end of the deadline, they seemed to be panic moves. and moves that ended up getting them both fired, if you really want to get down to it. So it was mismanaged. They seem to be in over their head. But a lot of guys would be in over their head here because it's a challenging job, whether you're talking about the three stars that you have to kind of manage. And I'm not saying they're hard to manage, but they're just different people and different players. And you have to respect the way that they are. But also, you have to address head on what's lacking here. And there's a lot lacking here. And it just wasn't addressed quick enough.
All right. So what's job one then for Kyle Dubas? Which of the lacking areas do you think he's got to address first?
Goaltending.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to make a big decision with Tristan Jarry because, you know, Tristan Jarry holds the cards. He's not an RFA. He's a UFA. Yeah, I mean, so people are like, well, you know, both teams, you should just offer him 2 years at $4 million. Well, why the hell would he accept that? You know what I mean? Because he's a 28-year-old goaltender, and when he's healthy, he's one of the best goaltenders in the league. He's not just a good, you know, potential-type goaltender. He's proven he is one of the best goaltenders in the league, and I'm a huge fan. But he's not healthy very often, Reed, and that's a major problem. You can't trust him, and that's become a problem. It is what it is. If Tristan Jarry was standing right next to me right now, I'd be saying the same thing because he knows it's true. He's a guy that you can't trust to stay healthy. Is it his fault? I don't know. I don't know his training methods. I don't know his sleep methods. I'm not laying in this 1,000 TC thread count sheets. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on with him at home, but there's something going on. This guy just can't stay healthy, and there's no reason why a 28-year-old goaltender should be banged up as much as he is at key moments when you really need him. That's the nature of that. So that's the biggest decision for Kyle Dubas. What the holy Moses is going on with this guy? Is he healthy enough? Should we invest 6 times 4, 6 times 6? What is the number? You know what I mean? Because what is plan B? If you don't take Tristan Jarry, I'm sure there's at least one team, if not a few teams, that are going to go 6 by 6 on him and roll the dice. And if you don't take him, then who? Who's a guy that you think can do the job? Because you still have Casey DeSmith, who's a good backup goaltender. Again, another guy that needs to stay healthy. You still have him under contract at a reasonable number, 1.8 off the top of my head, Reed. But if you don't have Tristan Jarry, who's your number one? That's the biggest question mark for Kyle Dubas.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. That's going to be interesting to watch. Phil Bourque joining us today on Inside Sports. Phil, you're always good for a tale or two. I just had Luke Gazdick on the show, former Oiler. He's now gone into broadcasting here in Canada. He was a regular guest on my show throughout the season. And he talked about, the scrutiny of playing in Canada and he told some stories about when he was buddies with Taylor Hall here in Edmonton, that sometimes it was tough to be out in public and have a quiet night. You obviously played with some great players. I mean, you mentioned Coffey, obviously the big guy wearing 66 was there. Did it ever get out of hand? Were there ever any unpleasant fan interactions where you were like, or anybody was like, dude, you just got to leave us alone sometimes. You know what I mean?
Well, I was lucky enough here in Pittsburgh that when, you know, the beginning of my career, when I came here in 82, until 66 showed up in 84, you know, basically from 82 to, say, 87, we had a free pass because we stunk, and everybody knew we stunk, you know, and it's kind of laughable because, you know, in 84, really 83, 84, there were people in the stands with paper bags on their heads, and they would cut out the holes in the bag so they could watch the game. But the reason they wore the bag over their head is because when the 11 o'clock news, the sports came up and they showed the highlights of the game and they might have shown people in the stands, nobody wanted to be seen in the stands. They didn't want their buddies to see them at the Penguins game because they suck so bad. So I was here for that, and you really got a mulligan then. And then it was all good, right? From 88 on, there was just so much good, and then I left in 92 to go to the New York Rangers. But I will say this. When I left the Rangers and got traded to the Ottawa Senators, that was in 94, right before they won the Cup. The Rangers won the Cup. I got traded to Ottawa. And that was the first time, you know, I played in Canada. But they were also, they were terrible, terrible team. The organization was just out of sorts. They were playing in the junior rink. you know, which was next to a football stadium, was just it was crazy. But I did realize then that it was, whoa, this is different. As far as the scrutiny, the media, the amount of outlets that the media had to voice their opinions on sports talk radio and the such, and the internet was just starting to get going. I did feel the heat and the pressure of, I was a guy that won Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh. I come to Ottawa. I should help fix things. And I didn't do that. I definitely felt the pressure more there than any other place I had played in my career.
Yeah, interesting. That was like a really new Ottawa team where the expectation shouldn't have been that high. I mean, that's interesting. And I remember that the old hockey rink, didn't it back onto the football stadium? Like they shared the bleachers backed on? Yeah.
The stands of the football stadium bled right into the arena of the hockey stadium. So, you know, the one side didn't go all the way up, because it got blocked by the stands from the football stadium, which was connected to. But that's when Alexander Daigh was there, and like I say, Yashin was there, and it was a, you know what kind of show. It was, man. It was just, you roll your eyes, and for me, coming from Pittsburgh, and then the Rangers, they treat you absolutely like gold. Not that I wasn't treated good. I loved Ray Shiro and Randy Sexton that were there, but even Rick Bonus was a hell of a coach there. It was a bit of a gong show in the locker room.
Okay, fair enough, Phil. You're the best. Always appreciate it. I obviously, you know, you're a couple hours ahead of us, so thanks for jumping on a little bit later in your time zone as well. Hey, enjoy the summer, enjoy the family time, and of course, we'll be talking next season, my man.
All right, call me soon. Call me with free agency, man. We'll have a lot to talk about. I enjoyed it, like always. This was good hockey talk.
That is Phil Bourque checking in from the Penguins Radio Network.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta's precedent-setting injury lawyers.
Okay, thanks for tuning in tonight. Good chat with Phil Bourque. No surprise there. 780-496-0063. Kellen, go.
Text. Here we go. Brian texts in, and just off of the conversation that you had with Phil Bourque, says, Reed, in my professional opinion, the Malkin and Letang contracts were amongst some of the worst in the league last season.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Lots of love tonight for favorite sports-orientated television show for Friday Night Lights. We're getting a ton of texts in from unknown texters and those that we are known to the show. By the way, if you want to text in, give us a handle, and I'll type it into my little machine here and that stuff, and we'll call you. That's your Inside Sports handle for tonight. But anyway, Bruce texts in and says, the Friday Night Lights TV show shares the title and Texas locale with the book and movie, but that's about it. It's 100% fictional, but the direction, writing, casting, and acting are absolutely top-notch. The series is available on Crave. I would consider it a must-watch. That is from Bruce.
I remember somebody told me once that they thought, I think it was Friday Night Lights, they did a really good relationship with the coach and his wife, that they thought that was a very realistic portrayal of a marriage. I thought I remember somebody telling me that once.
But yes,
that show, Kel and I were talking about the book, but yeah, the TV show shares the name with the book, but not anything else really.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Exactly. Yep.
You got like 20 seconds for some other stuff?
I got a couple of quick suggestions here. We've got Dan from East of Camrose saying detention brewing in Rosalind, Alberta, built in a closed school is very good.
Oh, wow. That's irony. Okay.
And Jacqueline texts in and says, Alley Cat, especially their Mangalorean.
I don't know if I haven't had that one. The Apricot from Alley Cat is very good, especially in the summer. Well, I'm not surprised a lot of Edmontonians saying Alley Cat, as it's been around a while. Okay, yeah, Alley Cat teaming up with the Edmonton Riverhawks. So RE/MAX Field going to offer exclusively craft beer. It's believed to be the first time an Edmonton sports venue has done that. And we'll have a pitcher from the Riverhawks to tell his story next.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three makes a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.